Protection from friction. We've been looking at the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, and particularly verse 2, which says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We previously saw two reasons, fear and flies, the reason why a sheep will not lie down. And in this one, we want to see friction. Friction as a reason why sheep will not lie down. You see, the social behavior of the sheep indicates that if there's friction among the flock, the sheep will not lie down. And, we've heard of pecking order among hens. Similarly, among the sheep, there's something called a butting order. Each sheep wants to usurp authority over the other, and they have what's called the butting order. But what's interesting is when they see the shepherd, they all seem to settle down. And in talking about social behavior, it doesn't seem too different among the members of the local flock, because it's when they are acutely aware of the presence of the Good Shepherd, of their Lord, that their fleshly desires to usurp and to be one better than the other seems to just vanish. But we want to talk about friction. One thing we need to know about friction is that friction will exist no matter what. That's part of the human makeup. There was once this story said about a young man who was fed up of friction among the local, within the members of the local church. And he approached the elders, and a very wise elder pointed out to the cemetery that was attached to that church. He says, look at them. They are the only ones who don't have any friction. Friction, therefore, is something that will exist. But the role of the elders is to take an intentional interest and action to manage this to avoid escalation. What causes conflict? Conflict can happen for many reasons. It could be pride and selfishness. We read about it in James chapter 4, the whole passage from 1 to 10. And the question that is asked is, what causes quarrels and what causes these fights among you? Are these not passions that are war within you? And then there is also this lack of forgiveness. We read about it in Matthew chapter 18. You see, when it begins, moreover, when your brother trespasses against you, and it starts to list what needs to be done when there is the issue of forgiveness. But there is a difference between conflict and friction. You see, friction is intangible. It's not even a disagreement. It's not over some doctrine or some theology. It's difficult to identify. You see, if there are member sins, then there is the process of church discipline. If there's a trespass or, if there is some kind of conflict or forgiveness can be discussed. But what do you do with the mild, constant, unexplainable irritation that you have against somebody? It's too small to worry about, it's too undefined to explain, and sometimes you just shrug it off as inconsequential. Or is it? You see, this is where I want to introduce to you Euodia and Syntyche. And we know about them. We've heard about them. We know that there was some problem between them. We don't know what exactly. We don't know too much about them. But we know that there was friction among them. We read about it in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 2 to 3. And this is what it says. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Notice some things about, some of the things that stand out about these two. One is that they are fellow workers. From the text, we understand that they are believers, that they work together for the furthering of the gospel. They worked with Paul. And interestingly, the Greek word that is used there to describe this work is about the fellow athletes. They were on one team and they were good at that. And yet there was friction. But it also notice that there's no accusation. There's no doctrinal disagreement. There's no sin. Paul would have handled that. He would have called out on that. But it's not like the Corinthian church where, you know, they had an issue and Paul could deal with it. But yet Paul takes time to write to them individually and specifically. So what is the problem? What do you think the problem would be? You see, some have suggested in jest that they are odious and soon touchy. You see, one was abrasive and the other was sensitive. Well, this might be true. We can't be sure what the issue was, but we know the injunction. The injunction is twofold. One is so that they would agree in the Lord, and second is for Cyzicus, or the fellow yoke fellow or the true companion, to step in and to help these two women to agree in the Lord. You see, in a church, you would notice that there are different types of people. One is strong and the other probably is not too weak in the personality, and yet the truth is not one is better than the other. We are like these fingers that look different and yet have this symmetrical beauty and you know, functionality about it, each one of them being important. It's when we, you know, when sin enters and the flesh is exhibited. Though we come packaged as different individuals, it's so beautifully fitted in the body, we can sometimes stick out as sore thumbs. But it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ, as being part of the body, that we are perfectly fitted. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. He makes the whole body to fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The key is to be in Jesus Christ. You must remember that we're not just one, that one personality is better than the other, but that the only personality worth pursuing is that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the hope that I have, and a lot of us have, is that we, one day we will be conformed to the image of His Son. The point is, what does Paul do when such a situation happens? When does that friction, the unexplainable, undefinable friction that happens, what does Paul do? Paul appeals both directly and individually. You would see that I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I'm not sure if you picked up on that, but this is the repeat of the same injunction that we read in chapter 2, which talks to us a bit about being in one mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, it says, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also in the interest of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus." So we don't know the true nature of the problem between Euodia and Syntyche, but we do know the cure, the panacea that Paul talks about. You see, the one cure for all the problems, Paul says, is to have the mind of Christ. Unity is found by having the mind of Christ. So what is the role of the elders? How do we apply this to ourselves? That's where we read about Cyzicus. Now, Cyzicus means true, and in some of the translations it says true yoke fellow or true companion. That's because we don't know the actual identity of this person. We don't even know if this person is Cyzicus is a proper noun or just an adjective. But in the role that the true yoke fellow plays, we see the role of the elder. We see how the elder has to step in to help the flock so that they will get along and have the same mind in the Lord. And to focus the attention, we spoke about this. You see, the sheep butt heads, but at the presence of the elder, the presence of the shepherd, they stop. And similarly so, our focus as elders is to get the sheep to be attentive to the good shepherd, to make them consciously aware of the Good Shepherd and of His presence. And in trying to do that, some of the roles that we can play is to help resolve misunderstanding, help them live in harmony, and to act on issues before they escalate, to make sure that we deal with issues in a God-honoring way so that His name is glorified. And as elders, we also need to remember not just focusing their attention on the shepherd, but we would focus our attention on them to see what is happening. And what do I mean? It's important that the elders keep a constant eye out among the flock. There is this, the example is taken from the sheep show. What happens is when the sheep are taken to the sheep show, the shepherds sometimes, what they do is they clip and shape the wool of a sheep who are normally defective and make it look good. But the judge is trained to see that if the sheep is really healthy or not. He's able to check to see the condition of the skin. He's able to see the cleanliness of the fleece and the contour of the body and determine the health of the sheep. And the role for us as elders is that, and the expression there is that no one can pull wool over his eyes. And that's the role that we have to play too, isn't it? That no one really pulls wool over our eyes, that we are aware of these little things that stand out, that can be friction, that may not be a big issue, but if they're handled before they're escalated, and that we would be focused in caring for our sheep, just as the Lord has intended us to. May His name be glorified.